Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson, you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And live via the magic of the interwebs is Stephanie Hayes from the wilds of Utah. So Stephanie reached... Hey, hi, Stephanie. I should actually say hi before.
Hi.
Hi. Let's just jump right into this. Stephanie reached out to me on the Facebook with a question about environmental rating scales. And since she messaged about 2 hours or so before I picked up Lisa from the airport for Pod Week, I got a hold of her and asked her if she'd be willing to talk to us about this topic. So,
is that a disclaimer for future? Like, if you message within a certain time frame of picking me up, you might end up on the show.
You just never know when I'm going to ask somebody to be on the show. So be on the lookout, people. So Stephanie's been listening to the podcast for a while. We've mentioned once in a while environmental rating scales, but it doesn't come up often. So Stephanie, tell us about what you're doing and what you're up to and your thoughts, and let's have a conversation about these rating scales.
Okay. Well, the state of Utah is starting to use, they call it the CCQS, the Child Care Quality System.
So they're rolling out a rating system, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And last year they attempted to make their own quality indicators and did observations on those, and that didn't roll over well. So they chose to use an already established system. Mm-hmm. So, it is in like a voluntary observation. You don't have to participate, but if you choose to not get that your observations done, you just get like the standard base rating, which if everybody's doing it, that doesn't necessarily help promote your business and other things.
So, yeah. So in a lot of states, they're rolling out these quality rating systems voluntary, and they're tying funding to them. And in the way they roll them out, a lot of times they make it look really good. It's bright and shiny, and here's the possibilities for some money in your program. Mm-hmm. And people get all excited. And then reality sets in. And what I'm seeing, I was in a Western state not too long ago, I did a 6-hour presentation, and during break times and lunchtime, I'd have people come up and say things like, I've been in the rating system, but I'm getting out. It's just not worth my time. And I have you seen any of this, Lisa? What's been your experience with here?
Not so much of the I've been in it and I'm getting out, but very vocal in
I'm not going in.
I'm not going in, and very much currently, I don't want to say relying, but very much currently glad that it's not mandatory, which, I mean, and that's a conversation perhaps for another time, is that right now we kind of are in that window of when it's not mandatory, whether or not it's going to eventually become mandatory, you know, that's a conversation perhaps for another day. But I would like to think that somebody's gathering the data of the people who were in and then have left, and have they done essentially exit interviews to find out why people have left, because maybe that could guide or redirect any kind of national conversation.
Yeah. Another Western, maybe the West is the problem. Another Western state I was in recently. There was some talk about this. It came up in a session. I'm talking about real play, where children are the boss of picking out what the play is and when it starts and when it stops and those kind of things. And people were like, hey, we're way into this, but can't do it. And I'm like, why? And they're like, quality rating system and the assessment, and it ends up being Eckers. And I'm like, well, okay, pretty much my job is to go places and talk about play and then be told they can't do it. And it gets really confusing. One of the people there defending as much as she could the state's rating system was like, it's only been in existence for 5 years, so they're still working out the kinks. Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is, if you've been running a family child care program for 5 years,
you're not allowed to still be working out the kinks.
And the state's not happy with you. You don't get a chance to work out your kinks for 5 years. And so I would like to see states unrolling rating systems and assessments that already are pre-de-kinked.
Well, that and this is me beating one of my dead horses, is that if you're going to be aligned with something, you should be given a copy of it and not have to rely on somebody's training of you on it, so that you do have that documentation right there. Because to what you just said, Jeff, that I'm pointing my pen at Jeff, but if somebody stands up at a gig and tells me that they're not allowed to do something because they're aligned with Eckers and they can't tell me where that's written, to me, the conversation is over. I'm going to continue being playful, child-centered, best practice, DAP, until you can show me actually evidence as to why this over here in my room should stop.
Yeah, now let's get back to Stephanie. We started yelling
sorry,
at each
Jenny.
Other.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm just sitting back nodding my head, and then I'm like, oh, wait, this is a podcast. They can't see me nodding
exactly,
my head.
Yes.
I can see you nodding your head.
Yes. But yeah. That can be tricky when you're Zoom platforming in as a guest on the podcast, is that we forget that people can't see what we're displaying to each other with our body language.
So Stephanie, what else is going on? Before I interrupted you, go back to what you're talking about.
They replaced
their homebrew.
Their homebrew.
Yeah,
they
replaced their own attempted thing with, like, they've got a lot more structured thing now. They have 5 different domains that will be evaluated in, and the observation is part of one of the domains.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know, my coworkers and I are all just like, we don't know the material, what's going on, what's expected of us. And someone from a sister center came down and was like, oh yeah, you need to hang more pictures. You need to have everything labeled. You need to have this. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
I don't want a label. Chair, phone, door, clock. I was
Good for you. Good for you, Stephanie.
Like, I personally don't feel like that's developmentally appropriate for infants and toddlers.
Well, who in the room can read the signs?
Yeah. I was like, I don't feel like this is age appropriate. Therefore, I'm not going to put in the time and energy to label it until I have gone to the book and searched it out. So I don't have a lot of experience with Itters R or the newer Itters 3 personally. So I'm just trying to dive in head first and see what's actually written and what page it's on. And
have you obtained a copy? So first question, first, you have a copy, and is it just the actual rating scale? It's thin, kind of rectangle shaped, mm-hmm. long ways, not the explaining the book. That I think the book that explains the book is the book that should go absolutely completely away. Like,
really?
Well, in the sense that, I don't want to sound rude.
Yeah, go ahead.
You should be looking.
Be yourself.
You should be able to look through the Itters Eckers, whether the most recent one or. And I will own the fact I have not yet read the brand new spanking one that just came out, but I used to get in the classroom and in workshops, and people would say like, oh my God, we can't do that. I'm like, have you actually read it? If you want to get a 5, here's what you got to do. You go to 5, 3, 2, 1, then this is what's going to end up happening. It's very, very clear. And maybe there's some wisdom in reminding listeners, don't overthink it. Like if the goal of your school is to be working towards a higher scale, a rating, right? A 5. Then this is ultimately, at the end of the day, what you have to do. It's in black and white. It's right there. And that's why I throw the interpretation card around so frequently with this, because I mean, it straight up says, if you want this, this is what you got to do. And I think the explaining book just adds more verbiage and room for confusion.
Okay. Hey, yeah. What I do like, this morning, I actually, as I had told in you guys, in the Facebook messages, oh, I just zoned out, guys.
That's okay.
Sorry.
You don't need to look at us. You can look away.
Well, I wanted to like find the section on the display and what was it expected to be up in the classroom. And I knew my center did the baby steps grant like 5 years ago, but we haven't done it since. So that's why we're not familiar with the material anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I know we have that bigger explanation book in work and I only live 10 minutes away. So I was like, I'm so stuck on this. I know that book has more like pictures of examples of what counts and what doesn't. If you have a high chair in front of your display, then that doesn't count because it's not usable in the space. It's blocked. So I actually ran into work this morning and grabbed that
book.
On
a Sunday. Yeah. Look at you. Did you have to break in or you just knew the key code? Like how'd that happen?
We have ID badges that let us in the door. So I just let myself in the back door because front door's locked, so you can get in the back door. So I was like, I am going on a 10-minute drive and I'm going to go get this book because that's just one of the things that I'm like caught up on the most just from talking to someone from the sister center, because they went through the pilot program.
Uh-huh.
And so they've been told, yes, this works. No, this doesn't. Yes, this meets this. No, this doesn't. And then they walked around our building for 2 hours and
like, so it sounds like you're wanting to read. You're wanting to see in black and white the shoulds, coulds, woulds, yes, nos.
So what did you find?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, where's this?
Find.
Oh, I've she has notes. This like
you
backpack.
Guys, you guys can see.
Oh yeah. Oh, so it's still blue.
I've got notes for my that I'm making to bring to work to talk to my co-teacher about, and I've got notes that are like podcast notes. So let me.
So, Stephanie, just so you know, if you were one of my staff, I would just absolutely be thrilled that you wanted to have a meeting with me tomorrow or today. I mean, how awesome would that be? Like your boss is watching football, having beer right now, and you like get a text going, "Hi, it's Stephanie. I just broke in and stole the hard copy of the ITERS evaluation form, and I would really, really like to have a 10 a.m. Meeting with you tomorrow morning." I would be thrilled to see a staff have that level of investment.
Well, and it's been interesting too, because it's like, I know, like I've gone online and I found the framework spreadsheet that tells us the domains and what, like, and the breakdown of what we're being evaluated on and the maximum points and that sort of stuff. And I feel like my coworkers and I are all just like freaking out because we don't have that information. Like my boss has not yet shared that with us. Like I'm sure she has it and all the other directors at the sister centers have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been like passed all the way down to all the employees. And so we're like, what's going on? What's being expected of us all of a sudden? And so I just like went and found it this weekend and texted the link to my co-teacher and I was like, here, this might help calm you down. We can talk about it later in the week.
Well, that's great. The fact that your pulse went up about this even as a topic says good things to me, because in a lot of programs, the people that are in the classrooms don't care about this stuff. So the fact that you care means a lot. When it comes to the labeling stuff, I think we did versions of that over the years, but I mean, it looks
cluttered.
But I mean, to outsiders coming in, I guess it kind of looks like, oh, look at all those words.
No, but see, I disagree because I don't know any grown adult who does that in their home. Show me the home, right? Like the house. Yeah. Who, I mean, how many years have I been coming to this house?
But grown adults send their kids to preschool for a reason. And when they walk into that classroom and they're like, oh, look at all those words. My kids really learn here. I think that mindset totally exists with parents because they I mean, you walk into a kindergarten classroom or a schoolroom and there's the letters up on the wall, the alphabet up there and everything. And I think people totally buy into that because it reminds them of
when they were
of the BS they saw when they were in school. And it doesn't matter that we're in an infant room at the moment looking at words on high chair and window and every, I mean, all 15 of the chairs or whatever it is. And it gets, I mean, it's a little bit much, but I think people totally buy into
I think it's, yeah, wow.
Oh, we found something we disagree on.
Oh, look at that.
Put that on the list.
Well, so far I have not yet found the book stating that that's a requirement either. Like the mention I have found of shapes and colors is, let me find it in my notes.
So Stephanie, while you're looking, if you're able to listen to the question while you're looking, it sounds like the CCQS of Utah is embracing Itters and Eckers as a part of the of the process. So are you now in theory having to be aligned with Utah's individual domains of quality are in addition to Itters and Eckers, or are the things listed in Itters and Eckers kind of been absorbed into one document? Like, are you now having to be aligned with three different binders?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
That's actually encouraging.
The fifth domain is national accreditation.
Right, yeah, by anybody or just NAICS?
NAICS is one option.
Yeah, okay, so they give you other options.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Good to have options.
Yeah, it can be Head Start, National Accreditation Commission, Council on Accreditation, like there's a few different options. So, and I'm not familiar with accreditation processes either.
That's okay, that's a whole different conversation.
That's the only thing I can see that would be like, necessarily like a different possible direction or being really regulated by two different things.
What I'm appreciating is that you, to piggyback on what Jeff said, is that you, this initiative that you're taking to get your hands on the document, to read it, to make some notes, to ask some questions, that's what I'm wanting to give you a big thumbs up for. You know, you might find that you're reinforced, you might find that some of what you're hoping is true, not true, or whatever. But you don't know if you don't do what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a...
And that's a big thanks to you guys, because I've listened to your podcast for half of my career.
I'll pat you on the back. You can pat me on the back, and then we'll pat Jeff on the back.
You can pat Jeff on the back. Yeah, I've listened to your podcast almost the whole time, like from the beginning when Danita was on too. So I've been a long time listener. And
thank you.
We appreciate that. You must have started when you were about
six. Yeah,
you must have started when you were about 6 years old. So let's take a broader look at one, quality rating systems, and then evaluation systems. Just an overview. My experience with them is they seem to be rushed into existence, and there seems to be a lot of change that goes through them in their initial years. And I mean, Stephanie's just shared an example. They came through and they were going to do it this way, and then they changed into this way. I've heard that many times. Michigan was a big one. Our buddy Amy Ahola up there was involved in that. And so that's a piece of it. Two, the money that gets dangled in front of programs seems enticing at the beginning, but as time goes by, people seem to realize that the payoff isn't worth the investment in time, energy, and sometimes tears that are involved in putting those policies into practice.
And can I jump in really quick, just to keep on a theme this week being in the studio together? I think it gets your eye off the spot, right? So
to tell a story.
So Mimi Shenfield, when she was here with us, said in dancing, and anybody listening who's ever taken a dance class, a tap dance class, jazz class, ballet class, the idea is that when you're spinning and you're turning, you have a spot on the wall and you keep your eye on the spot, and then you flip your head around and you meet your spot again. And that is why you don't fall down. And in the industry, I would say, of early childhood education, we've been very guilty of losing our spot. And it's because of things like, big things like often accreditation, early childhood rating scales that take our attention from the main focus of creating relationships and positive, rich environments for children to be growing up in. And I think this category of thing can be very guilty of causing us to lose our spot.
Yeah, and in addition to that, it kind of sucks away time, energy, and resources from caregivers, which increases the amount of burnout they're experiencing.
Stress.
Stephanie could spend her weekend chilling out and relaxing and enjoying herself, so she goes back to work Monday refreshed and energized, and I should spend her weekend working on this, which is applaudable, but if that goes on weekend after weekend after weekend, and you worry about accreditation or the rating scale, it really does have an effect on the relationships, on that focus, but also on not only we lose our focus in the classroom, we lose our focus in life too. We put so much time into the thing, getting the right number of stars or whatever it is,
other things
that we neglect other things in our lives. And that's not a place anybody wants to be.
And I'm going to piggyback because we just spent a couple episodes talking with Minnesota Lisa. And one of the things she was sharing with us was how much empowerment and how happy and joyful her work environment was becoming because her and her colleagues were now feeling trusted by a new layer of administration that's come in. So I'd be lying if I didn't say that jumped in my head when you're like, we don't even have a copy of the thing. So how can you be expected to you know, be aligned with something if nobody, and I'm not implying that your admin or your boss or is like hoarding it from you and not allowing you to have it.
I mean, the truth is they might not have the way these things get rolled
they
out.
They might not have a copy of it either, but how.
Or not realize that we want a need.
Or that you even want it. Like they might think that they're doing you a favor by being like, no, I'm protecting them from this. But really you're all like secretly like, breaking into your center to go get a copy of it. So, okay, I'll shut up now.
I think another issue for me, I sound so negative. Hey, people, I enjoy life and life is wonderful and people are great. I sound so negative on the show sometimes I apologize for it. Another problem I have, I go right into it. Another problem I have is reliability and validity. And when it comes to these quality rating systems, a lot of times they implement things before they have done any reliability and validity testing to make sure the stuff that they are doing is actually, one, measuring what they say they're measuring, and two, effectively measuring it, accurately measuring it.
Consistently
and,
measuring it.
Yeah, and it turns out a lot of these things don't do that. Because it's expensive and time consuming and difficult to do reliability and validity testing. And then some of the things where they actually do some version of reliability and validity testing, they do it with in ways that lead me to think there could potentially be bias
and conflict
of interest. They don't have completely unbiased third party organizations come in and do that measuring, that research. They do it with somebody that was involved in the creation of the tool was involved, or an organization that was involved is
or
involved,
somebody who helped fund it.
Yeah, exactly. And then beyond that, there are systems out there that don't do it all. And I'm going to call them out again. The National Association for Family Child Care has been running accreditation for decades, and they have not once, to this point, 2019, done any reliability and validity testing on their tool. Now, last I heard, they were in the process, and good for them for finally doing that. But for decades, they took money from family child care providers and deemed them either quality or not quality, and they can't prove it. Mm-hmm. And this is happening in the States a lot too. You're a 4-star and you're a 3-star. Prove it.
Yep.
And so
read through the beginning introduction section and that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. And that is actually a section in the beginning of the book is what has changed with this major revision. And there's a section on reliability and validity.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how they have like compared things and when their observers were seeing things that they thought should be rated higher, but then they were being rated like they were in the wrong category, a 3 instead of a 5. Like they have reviewed all that sort of things and they have like moved this one little section over like this should be a 5, not a 3. So they have spent the time, or it appears from what I've read, to look at those smaller details.
Good, good. And I applaud that effort. I just raged for a long time. Sorry about that.
But they're all things that I know that we've said all of those same things individually in episodes over the years.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we've ever, well, and I can't say that because how many 500,000 trillion billion episodes that we've done, yeah. But have we done like a concentrated conversation over it? I mean, there's bias. There's what was the mood that the validator was in that day. I mean, all of that stuff. And that's been an issue with accreditation as well, is that people realize that the person walking in with the clipboard and the book and the pencil, they're people. You know, when we're not pointing fingers at them, but, you know, if I sat through Washington, D.C. traffic for 2.5 freaking hours before walking through a toddler room and giving you a checklist, you know, observation, I'm probably going to be a little different than if I had just kind of casually, you know, made all the green lights and it was only 6 minutes. And that might seem really trivial and trite, but it's true. It is.
It's going to impact. That happen with a licensor. A few years ago, like, she got stuck in construction traffic and the weather was bad. And so she came in like an hour or two later than was planned. And we were like, well, she's just grumpy today. It's going to affect our licensing.
Of course it's going to affect it.
Yeah, yeah.
You like to think that it won't, but it does, because we're human.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that's the whole quality rating systems, but then those tools, whether it's Eckers or whatever it is, those are the same things. There's bias, there's the mood of the reviewer, there's the reliability and validity. So I mean, I think as ideas, rating scales and quality rating systems are well-intentioned and could be beneficial if they were done right. It's just very, very, very difficult to do it right. And I don't know if I can point to a state or a tool that is consistently doing it right. But again, I'm a pessimist, and
I don't know if this is answering your question or not. I always saw Eckers in its original form as a baseline. So I used to explain to my staff that we are not aligned with it. However, if anything in this book makes you go, oh shit, that's some stuff I probably need to start doing, then I want you to read this book. Because in my world, like, that should be the bottom floor is what is expected in Eckers. And not that Eckers and accreditation are always, you know, talked about in the same breath, but to me, a lot of those scales became ceilings instead of baselines. And that's been a concern of mine. I hate to throw down the common sense card, but people would say initially, like, oh my God, Eckers. And like, if you have any issue with what's being expected from you in Eckers, you probably shouldn't even be in this industry. Because to me, this is like very baseline, very common sense, very like, basement level, ground floor. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to go but up from here. Is there one place doing it better or right? I don't know if I have that. I think a lot of our colleagues who have like thrown all this shit out the window and have said, fuck this, I'm starting my own program and I'm gonna take the kids out in the woods. I think a lot of them are doing it right.
Yeah. Do your little bit about how you can. I know you don't like
to. Oh, to choose.
Yeah, that you can choose.
Choosing to not be accredited is very different than not getting accredited. I chose to not be accredited. I chose to not be aligned with Eckers. It was 100% intentional, and choosing to, and even if you legally or voluntarily have to be aligned with ITERS or Eckers or whatever, if at the end of the day, and again, and I haven't read it yet, but it used to be the thing about the food use, everybody would say, you know, you can't use food because we're aligned with Eckers. Nowhere in Eckers at the time did it say that you couldn't have food in the sensory tub or food, mm-hmm. pudding, painting. ITERS, it did. It said you couldn't use food for art, but you could use it for a sensory experience. So if I'm using pudding and calling it art in a toddler room, I'm choosing to get a one if the validator walks in on that day and I happen to be calling pudding painting art in the infant room. Great. Give me a one. I have always said that I would rather have staff self-aware enough and knowledgeable enough and articulate enough to be able to talk themselves through that. I'm well aware of the fact that you don't think I should be doing this, but the should there is only implying that you think I want a five for everything. And that's the piece that I think doesn't get unpacked enough. I can choose to get a two. I'm cool with the two.
Yeah, well, and I think the whole the
should
idea
that be a shirt. I'm
cool with the two. That should be a shirt Tasha wears when she's out with me. I'm cool with the two. He's all right. Part of this is it becomes a competition, right? A lot of people they think they need to get a five on everything because then they win. They win their
quality rating
scale or something like that. And I don't know if that's intentional with. I mean, some people are just wired that way. And so if you're working in a program and the director is wired that way, then everything has to be a five.
Okay, and I realize I just monologued, but I'm going to jump in there again, is that if we're in society, if we're kind of training parents to think that the only thing that's quality is the one with the highest score, you know, that's a very superficial, oh, they have a high score. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I don't need to do my own due diligence to make sure that this is really a good fit socially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever, for my family to come to this program. That's an issue too that I've had with accreditation and in the rating scales. You can't, it's incorrect to assume that because you're not accredited or because you're choosing to get a lower score, they could be the best programs in town.
Yeah. Stephanie, we've rambled for a while. What do you got to say? I love your t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's a YouTuber.
What does
merch.
It say? Say it.
You don't get to be offended by science.
You don't get to do that. I don't
get to be offended by science. I know. It was this lady. Her name's Mama Dr. Jones on YouTube, but she's an OBGYN. A whole tangent. But I bought my husband and I matching shirts.
Oh,
I was like,
romantic.
We need this. You don't get to be offended by science. Like, that's just, that's just sort of us. So, in talking to my coworkers on Friday, I was actually talking to our oldest preschool teacher and my co-teacher. We're with the one-year-olds. And we were like, just frustrated again with all the labeling stuff. And we were like, is this truly necessary? No, because if we're having quality interactions, and our environment is set up correctly, you don't need this stuff. And so we were just like, okay. And that's when I was like, I'm reading this book cover to cover. I'm going to dig deep and I'm going to find if and where it's written. And if it's not written, then I can now speak to that and be like, well, you gave us this rating. I disagree because these are how we interact with it. This is how we interact with the children and how we set up our environment.
Well, these kind of things also become another thing that's kind of becoming a theme of the show is the whole idea of one, systems don't care, and two, there are a lot of structures like rating scales and quality rating systems that are being put into place that separate caregivers from the children, these layers and layers of bureaucracy in there. And you're exactly right. If we know we're doing things that quote unquote, right. We know we're running a program that's developmentally appropriate. The children are happy. The parents are happy. The staff are fulfilled. You don't need this outside source to tell you so.
But I think that goes back to the fact that we still just let anybody do this job. And so because of that, we need to regulate it and dumb it down to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if we all had people like Stephanie who cares, obviously, the job would be a lot easier.
And we wouldn't need all of this peripheral bullshit.
Yeah. And we end up with warm bodies. Although I've been trying to think of a new phrase for the warm bodies and I want to throw one out at you. I haven't had a chance.
Throw out a warm body at me.
Let me know what you think about this phrase, Stephanie, as well. I think these people are cow-brained.
Cow-brained.
Yeah, cow-brained.
You know,
okay,
we don't get
you
it.
Look in the face of a cow, and you get this kind of dull dull kind of look back at you. And it's not malicious. They don't have any ill intent against you or anything. They're just kind of empty and void. And I was just gonna, use the phrase they're cows, but then that gets to upsides.
Yeah,
stuff.
You can't
but,
do that.
Yeah, I can't do that. But cow brained, I think it, because cows. Well, it's fine. I'm just workshopping this.
Okay.
Cows aren't malicious. They're not. They have no ill intent. But they're also not very driven. They're not cow. You know, if a herd of cows are walking along and they come to a river, cows don't decide to build a bridge.
No.
Cows just kind of hang out.
Drink a little. Brush their teeth.
I wish. So, I mean, cow brain is kind of, you don't like cow brain?
Well, I don't know.
Stephanie?
Maybe the cow is solving some big philosophical problem in their head. Maybe, and so like, we're interpreting it as like not being really present, but really they're
okay,
building.
In your life, how many cows have
Oh, big fat nut. You're asking a city girl about a cow.
Stephanie, thoughts on cow brain?
Oh, it just didn't go the direction I thought, so I had to like wrap my head around it.
Where did you think it was gonna go?
I thought it was gonna go off of the artisan bakery and it's like dry old stale bread.
Oh, wow. Well,
instead
that.
Of the artisan things that you guys were talking about a few episodes ago.
I think the moldy bread left from a week ago. If you had a coworker that was just kind of not doing anything and everything, and somebody called him cow brained, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's her. Okay. Well,
even without context, I probably, if that is what would happen, I'd be like, oh yeah. And then I'd be like Googling like, what the fuck?
I think warm body, I mean, you're looking to spice it up, but I think warm body, I'll keep working on it.
Okay.
So, any other thoughts, Lisa Murphy, on rating scales and tools and this kind of stuff?
Well, some of the specifics that Stephanie's bringing up, I would love to keep unpacking that a little bit more, specifically to the labeling on everything. The thing I scribbled down here was like, does it dumb down the teacher at that point? Like, I've got it labeled chair, like I don't got to do anything. Whereas to what you were saying about the authentic, like go put this on the chair, go put this on the table. I'm able to see through that interaction and that conversation. One, I don't know why I would be wanting to know this, but if the child knew where the chair was or what a chair was, but it's organic, authentic data gathering, as opposed to thinking, well, I labeled it, so I'm doing my job, when really you're doing the farthest from your job.
Well, I think the labeling thing also is very biased. It's very noun-centric, isn't it?
Oh, always has been.
Yeah, and that just kind of that kind of shuts a lot of valuable words out of the what do you call it, vocabulary.
Do you need to go with yellow chair, green chair, blue chair?
And then
good Lord, and then we're covered with post-it notes everywhere, and now we're back to Minnesota Lisa.
And then how far do you go with this? If a child, you know, I don't know, throws up or spits up on the carpet, do you have to label it before you clean it up? I don't know.
I've never, ever been a fan of that. Even before I knew better and that started to become a thing, was labeling everything, I was like, this doesn't feel right. Because it doesn't feel authentic. Nobody does that in their own life, with one exception, and it is verb heavy, is if you're learning a new language, it is often helpful in your current real environment where you live to put the name of, you know, what is shade in Spanish? What is light in French? What is plant in German? And you start to then associate the verbal with the thing. But you know, that's an adult making that choice in their space. I think it just adds to the clutter. There's too much stuff going on in the space anyway.
Yeah.
Jeff has that look.
No, I thought you had more on your page that you wanted. The specifics you want.
Oh no! I said everything right there. Does it dumb down the teacher?
I can't see your. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Stephanie?
I actually just read those sections on encouraging vocabulary development and talking with the children. And it's saying that they want you to repeat the words repeatedly, like while you're changing the diaper, oh, you're going to need to take off your pants to get to your diaper. And let's take off your pants. And like just using the words repeatedly throughout your day, like that is enough. And that is actually what the book says they're looking for.
Uh-huh. And I mean, that seems a lot more effective than labeling every darn thing. Yeah.
And true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're going to be hanging out with a 6-week-old and you're the one doing it, not mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, or whoever it was, or, you know, used to be or whatnot, like just talking to the baby.
Yeah. Can't go wrong there. So Stephanie, about time to wrap this one up, but I have questions for you. How long have you been doing this, working in early learning?
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years?
Almost 10 years, yep.
You're preschoolers?
I've actually mostly been with infant and toddler.
Oh, cool.
I've done a little bit of preschool, but babies are my favorite.
You like it? How long are you going to stick around?
Babies are your jam?
That's what I was going to say, and then I did it.
She didn't think us old people would understand the lingo, the young people lingo. So is this something you're in for the long haul?
Yeah, most likely. I've had, even actually at the beginning of my career, I had a baby that was working with kids on the move, mm-hmm. Because they were a bum scooter, and so they were helping add in some extra little physical therapies and stuff. And even the mom, gosh, it was 8 or 9 years ago now, she was like, you would be good at this. You could go into the physical therapy side, or you could go into a child life specialist. Like, mm-hmm. So I know I could branch out more, but this is literally shaping the minds of the future. So I love what I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to ask you to share with us, who's your favorite, like, infant early childhood person rock star? Like, do you have a favorite theorist? Do you have a favorite thing? What's your, like, who do you nerd out on in the infant toddler world?
I would have to go with like Emmy Pickler and the mm-hmm. Rye people. Mm-hmm. So
yay, yeah, that was the right answer.
That was the correct answer. I would have accepted Allison Gopnik or John Medina.
Oh, true.
They would have been accepted, but that's like, you went old school. That's nice. Young people going old school on that.
Oh, my husband and I road tripped to Oklahoma a few years ago so that I could go to an introduction to Pickler training.
Cool.
And it was on our own dime. It was our vacation for the year, but.
How romantic.
It was fun.
How romantic. Hey, I've been on lots of romantic early learning based road trips. Hey Stephanie, if you ever have time, we do this this Wednesday night chat thing, and as you're working through this, if you want to ever hang out there, and because I mean it's people that care about this kind of stuff and have those conversations, and we do it right here on the Zoom like we're recording this, so that'd be great if you want to hang out with that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time, and keep in touch while this rolls out there. We'd like to have like field reports on how this new program out in Utah rolls out, if that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll try.
You can change your name if that makes you more comfortable.
Yeah, we can come up. Refany.
Refany.
Refany. Hey, everybody. Refany Ray. She's no relation to the Stephanie Hayes who was on the show before. Yeah, if you have any groundbreaking stories that are going to break the system wide open or something. Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We will be back soon with another episode. If you are an early learning ninja out there like Stephanie, fighting the system and reading the books and finding out what page it's on, and you got something you want to talk about, reach out to us. And we don't record all the time, but we record a lot of the time and are always looking for fun people to talk with. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the show with a friend. Thanks for doing the hard work you do with little people and adults and other people and stuff. It's exhausting, isn't it? Good for you for getting out there and doing it. Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.